Let's get started, ladies and gentlemen. It's time for Sister Sorry, your very own film and TV review podcast. I'm Sean and here is Shannon.
Hi, my movie freaks.
And together we are the hosts of Sister Sorry. And we're back with another entertaining and informative review. So let's head right in. If you didn't hear our previous review of Fear Street 1994, you need to know that the flick was not up to mark exactly, with its underdeveloped character arcs, plot holes, and rushed narrative. It did have some qualitative features, but not enough to redeem it. So we thought that the movie series will find atonement through the remaining movies. So let's see how the second part of the trilogy did. It picked up right where the previous film had left off, with the teens trying to figure out the murderous mystery which haunts their town Shadyside. They tried to solve the mystery serial killings by hoping to get some answers from the past, the answers they could only get by unraveling the events that happened in Shadyside in 1978 at Camp Nightwing. Kids from two towns, Shadyside and Sunnyvale, had come to Nightwing that summer, and by the end of the first week, 12 kids were dead, all Shadysiders. All who were attacked had died, all but one girl, C. Berman, who was resuscitated after her heart had stopped due to multiple stab wounds. After regaining consciousness, Berman blamed it all on Seraphir, the witch who commoners believed made a deal with the devil for ultimate power and sold the town's happiness in exchange for it. She had been killed in 1666 in the witch trials of Shadyside, but had the town in her throes ever since. No one believed C. Berman, but the teens did and wanted to know if there was any way of stopping Seraphir in her wicked quest for eternal power. From there started the trip of nostalgia that C. Berman took the teens and the viewers on. Now that we are clear on some of the plotline, let's dive headfirst into the review. The movie, being based at a camp, took me right back to R.L. Stine's Goosebumps series, specifically to books like Welcome to Camp Nightmare, Ghost Camp, The Curse of Camp Cold Lake, and countless others that R.L. Stine loaded my life with throughout the years. So seeing the portrayal of all the kids at camp in the middle of the woods parallels the image that I imagine every R.L. Stine camp to be like. It made me reminisce about the turn of that first page from where every story begins and ends, in it being imprinted on my mind for years to come. I wanted this movie to do just that and captivate me much like every R.L. Stine novel does, especially after the disappointment of the first film. I wanted it to capture the fun, mystery and horror that can be found in Fear Street novels as well. So let's see how it did. Like the previous movie, I was afraid I wasn't going to be able to connect with the characters enough. But I gotta tell you that the filmmakers did a better job there. I got to know a little bit more about the characters and their lives before Nightwing. I also got to see them struggle with lots of emotional trauma and issues. Throughout the movie, estranged friends and family sorted it out between themselves, knowing there were bigger problems at hand. All these moments helped me like the characters and even understand them a little, which helped character development and advance the plot. Some say that the first half was a little slow and boring, but I think it was essential to make me root for the protagonist and in turn keep me hooked for the rest of the film. It also dug deeper into witchcraft by showing us the witch's cave, where we saw many witch's totems, sacrificial animals hanging from the ceiling, chalices, old devilish books, and all of the things that one would expect a witch would own. This made the movie a little more spooky and eerie than the last one. It also told us a little about the witch's history and gave us visual references to things we had only heard about in the previous film. The movie also told us the history of two of the witches victim turned serial killers, which I thought made me feel sympathetic for them. It led me to understand that the serial killers were once humans as well. They've just been trapped by Seraphir in this eternal cycle of pain and suffering, and that they themselves are just pawns executing Seraphir's orders. Or should I just say, quite literally executing. Now circling back to the camp itself, the setting and plot reminded me of many slasher movies based in the woods. I'd hoped rather than just showing us glimpses of the 70s and 90s slasher era, it would try to be more inventive than that. I'd hoped it wouldn't be like every horror movie based in the woods, because we already have plenty of those. But unfortunately, it did just the opposite of what I'd wished for. The movie as a whole felt like all it was meant to be was a tribute, not its own movie. It was as violent as it could have possibly gotten, but again lacked to scare me just as the first film. The filmmakers could have tried to make it much more spooky and haunting. It might appeal more to older audiences because of its nostalgic feel, but it certainly isn't for younger ones. I expected there to be so many intricate twists and turns in this one, considering it's just a story being told to the protagonist. Nothing that happened in this movie would change anything about the main plotline. They had so much room to explore the darker elements of the story and utilize the scary setting of the woods much better. But for some reason, they chose to go with the same narrative as almost every slasher movie, with some added details here and there. The only thing that could have made it better could have been the actors' acting skills. But they were atrocious and lamentable. Every time the character's friends kicked the bucket, they behaved as if they were trying really hard to make us believe that they cared in the slightest, or it affected them at all. When the characters were running away from all the ghost killers, they almost appeared like children hiding from a seeker in a game of hide and seek, not like they're about to be sliced and minced into plates of hors d'oeuvres. All of this was enough to make the movie pretty unconvincing for me. How was it for you, Shannon?
I felt this was a step up from the last one and wasn't as rushed either. But what I thought this movie struggled with more was character likability. All the characters felt cold and aloof for the most part to me, with no redeeming qualities. All of them were jerks to everyone, and nothing more complex or interesting than that was ever shown on their sides. I couldn't feel sympathy for any of them. I think halfway through the movie, it was the bullies I was rooting for, and I'm pretty sure the filmmakers didn't intend for them to turn out that way. We did get some backstory of the characters, but I don't think it was nearly enough to make me feel even the tiniest bit of sympathy for them. I also didn't get why the plot was presented as hopeless and despondent. This reflected through the entire narrative, the setting, the characters, and the overall nature of the film. And while pessimism could be a strong building point for any story, if used correctly, in this instance, it did nothing but make it more boring and tedious than I would have liked. Moreover, despair was not the element that Fear Street novels were based around. It was fear and exhilaration, both of which were nowhere to be found in this movie. Other than the setting, there was nothing that shouted Fear Street to me in Fear Street 1978. I'd thought the last time that they'd improve, but it seems as though Netflix has decided to keep giving us disappointments. It's such a shame, because R.L. Stine and Fear Street both deserve so much better.
So are you saying you wouldn't recommend it?
I wouldn't. Not to my worst enemy. Would you?
Though I agree with you, I think for slasher movie lovers, it could prove to be a nice one-time watch. Otherwise, I wouldn't. So this was our review of Fear Street 1978, and we tried our best to give you our unbiased opinion about the flick. We'll soon be back with another review and another discovery, but until then, share this episode with anyone you think might enjoy it. And follow us at Sister Soiree on all social media platforms.
Take care and enjoy our previous reviews until we come back.